that's what we spoke to a little bit yesterday. Yesterday's shiur was a hashkafa shiur, but obviously it was also a way to be mashlim a little bit some of the formulations in the in our topic, and also trying to connect in a bigger way in connection with Chodesh Elul, of course, and the upcoming Yom Narayim. This paradigm of marital bond as the kesher between the rabbanu ani ledodi vedodi li, which Chazal is a special kesher of tshuva me'ava in the Yom Narayim. So just again, you should be aware of the chorus that we discussed, the Sefer Batim, and they really belong to Gittin, as well, and again the Malbim and the others for sure. But what I wanted to add just briefly is two quick points. One that Justin brought to my attention, and that is I had mentioned when I was talking about different reasons why when it comes to a human relationship, there is always an exit. I wouldn't say strategy because it sounds too positive, but a necessary exit. And when it comes to the relationship between Kal Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam, I was giving like 5-6 different overlapping reasons why it's different, in addition to what the Rav suggests. And one of the things I mentioned was, this isn't a unilateral relationship either. It's also a reciprocal one. And I was quoting the pasuk, in last week's parsha, Es Hashem hemarta hayom lios lechal elokim, and then, the other part of it, hemircha hayom, lios lola am sigula, kasher diber lach. So it's Justin brought to my attention that the Malbim, I was saying that is, the kind of exclusive relationship, that that Bnei Yisrael have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what he brought to my attention is that the Malbim in on that pasuk suggests that the word, everybody struggles with what the word, hamarta means. The Rashi, Alatar actually says that, there's no Eid Mochiach. Then Rashi goes on to suggest something, but it's a very unusual usage, in Tanakh. And Rashi initially thinks that there's nothing, like it. By the way, that itself is a very, probably intentional thing, meaning describing the bond between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Torah uses a word or a phrase, that doesn't have any analog, that in itself, the Mefarshim might be saying, well, what does it mean? And Rashi is saying, it doesn't have an analog, what does it mean? But the fact that it doesn't have an analog, or that it can't be easily defined, to use the Rav's terminology, that it's more numinous, than clear, in my opinion, is intentional. Anyways, but it's still, important to try to figure out what, what it conveys. So what Justin brought to my attention, you have a line, is that the Malbim says, it's okay, the people can look it up, is that the Malbim suggests that it's a language of ishus, correct? And it's like a marriage. So, but even before you get to that, since, he inspired me to look at it again, I had already mentioned that the Gemara in Brachos and the Baba Min Aleph, it's a famous agarata, but one which, garnered a lot of attention. The Gemara speaks about, the tefillin of the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever that means, and what's written in that tefillin. But anybody have a Gemara in Brachos and Baba Min Aleph, or on your computer, or on that thing? So the Gemara says, that in the tefillin of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it says, mi ka'amcha Yisrael, goy echad, ba'aretz. And the Gemara says, atem, asauni chativa achas ba'olam, and I made you chativa achas ba'olam, and so on. And the psukim that are quoted are exactly these psukim, the psukim of, es Hashem hemarta hayom lios lecha lelokim, or hayom hazeh lios lo la'am segula, hemircha hayom lios lo la'am segula kasher diber la. So that's, you have it there, David? Go ahead, just to read it quickly. Oh, okay, if you don't have it, it's fine. You can look it up. Anyways, but the language of the Gemara is chativa achas, and Unkelis says that the pshat of the word, you know, hemartem, is chataft or chatafta, meaning made into a chativa, like, you know, put on a pedestal or created like a separate identity. That is the pshat according to Unkelis, and of course it fits in. That's basically what the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say that's the meaning, but that's what that same Gemara is discussing. Rav Sajagon Alatar says that it refers to yichud, and you know, the Ibn Ezra speaks, you know, and the Ramban speak about, you know, romamtem vigidaltem, like everybody is struggling. You know, Rashi ends up saying that it's hafrasha v'havdala. So the point is that, you know, describing this relationship, which in the end is, you know, what defines the purpose of man, and therefore it needs to be, you know, irrevocable, you know, and, you know, without any kind of, you know, end or limits, that you know, is relating to Nisuin or Yichud or Kedusha, you know, is certainly certainly very interesting. In addition to that, just to note that the Gemara in Yoma on Pei Vav Amud Beis, Gedola Tshuva Shadocha Losa Seisha B'Torah, you know, is quoting the pasuk in Yirmiya, Gimel Ches, that we were talking about the other day, you know, and basically, you know, talks about, you know, the reconstituted relationship through tshuva as a kind of maxir grushasa. So all of this, you know, is related to yesterday's hashkafa, but it certainly overlaps with what we've been actually talking about, you know, in this introductory topic about grounds for divorce, mitzvah lagarish, how to understand, you know, all of this, etc. And having said that, I'm going to mention one other thing very quickly. Also, you know, a little bit on the kind of border of the halacha and hashkafa, but, you know, there are some achronim in this in the context of this sugya that, you know, ask, you know, a kind of broader, interesting question. The very legitimacy of the question is sometimes challenged, but, like, you know, serious achronim asks this question. And that is, oh, if you, like, take a, you know, a step back and you look at the, you know, protagonists, you know, in this debate, like Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, so you would have thought, you know, that they would all be on opposite sides of where they are. Okay. Yeah, there are different ways of asking this question, but, you know, it appears. Meaning, Beis Shammai, you know, has a reputation for, you know, having very little, you know, tolerance or patience, you know, having very high, you know, standards. You know, the story in the Gemara in Shabbos about, you know, the ger, you know, came to, you know, to Shammai and to Hillel, right? And, you know, you have like a discussion between Shammai and Hillel about, you know, Talmidim, you know, what, you know, do you only take people who, you know, demonstrate that they're, you know, worthy, both in terms of their Hilchos Deos as well as their intellectual capacity. And, like, you know, you have, you know, faith, you know, that they can, you can produce in them, you know, Talmidei Chachamim, you know, should be focusing on the Echad or, you know, or on the Aleph, you know, if you will. And Hillel, of course, was far more tolerant, more flexible, you know, in his dealing with others, you know, in matters of Kedusha. I would say his standards were lower, but he was more expansive, you know, in his dealings, and you know, again, even his view of education was more extensive. The Gemara says in Erevin, you know, that in the debate between, you know, Hillel and Shammai, you know, that you know, that the Baskol said Eilu Divar Lekim Chayim V'Halacha Kebeis Hillel. And then the Gemara goes on to explain that, you know, that one of the reasons that we paskin like Beis Hillel is because, you know, they were more expansive, more generous, you know, in their debating tactics, in you know, acknowledging and, let's say, respecting, you know, the you know, the diversity of opinion or the opinion of opponents, you know, and that respect, you know, somehow, you know, gives them, you know, priority when it comes to the halacha. You know, that, I think, as I've said in the past, and then I found it much later in the Maral, yeah, obviously it doesn't mean that they, you know, the din is according to Beis Hillel because they're more gentlemanly and their midos tovos, you know, is a reason to paskin like them, you know, in a matter of substance. But what it probably does mean, and the Maral definitely says this also, is that their, you know, expansiveness and their openness to other opinions, you know, makes their positions, you know, more palatable because they weigh more seriously, you know, the alternative. They're more respectful of the alternative, so then their drisha v'chakira, their maso maton, and therefore ultimately their psak, you know, is also, you know, better, like, informed. So it isn't a matter of, like, you know, rewarding good manners by paskening, like, that would make a mockery of Yikov Adin Sahar, of what psak is, but the idea that, you know, a person's perspective can also, you know, impact the quality of his decision-making, you know, that's a very important principle. Anyway, the point is that there's like a portrayal, you know, people have written, like, you know, articles and books, you know, about Shammai and Hillel trying to find, like, you know, personality, you know, patterns, you know, and also, you know, patterns in terms of, you know, their perspective. And halacha, it's a very interesting, you have to be very careful about it. That's one of the things I'm about to say in just a second. But, you know, it's out there. There's this school of thought, you know, that, and it's a very natural thing to do. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, is, you know, also has like a certain, you know, persona. And I'll tell you what I think about all this in just a second. Rabbi Akiva is perceived as, like, you know, an optimist and an idealist, you know, the Gemara at the end of Makos, and, you know, about, you know, the Korban. And of course, especially when it comes to matters of Ishus, you know, the story of, you know, Rabbi Akiva's marriage, you know, and, you know, Shalchav Shali Shalah, and, you know, people connect that to, like, his greater sensitivity to, you know, Shira Shirin being, you know, Kodesh Kodashim, and so on. And, like, so that's, it's like an interest, like a playful kind of a question to ask. It's not such a serious question, but it's like a curious, you know, kind of a playful question. And that is, oh, so Beis Shammai are the ones who are saying that, you know, they have to, you know, we imprison them and they have to live together unless it's, you know, Matzah Ba'er Bas Davar, the quick to anger, you know, high standard, you know, doesn't, you know, to use a Shakespearean, you know, a phrase, doesn't suffer fools. Beis Shammai is the one who, you know, insists that the only excuse, only, you know, rationale for Gerushin, you know, is Matzah Ba'er Bas Davar. The Elu, you know, Beis Hillel, you know, they say even, you know, Hikdicha, you know, Tafshilo. And Rabbi Akiva, the idealist, you know, about marriage, you know, and the optimist, you know, he's the one who says, you know, Afila Matzah Isha Na Himena. So, I'm curious and very interesting. Obviously, there are two perspectives, you know, to take. So, you know, one is that, you know, you have to be very careful about these kind of questions. I say, first of all, there are, for sure, people have, you know, personal inclinations, you know, like character, you know, perspectives. You have to distinguish that from, you know, their halakhic, you know, orientation in a broader way. Like, but some of the things that we're talking about are about character and personality, and others really are about, you know, halakhic, you know, orientation and perspective, for sure. I don't want to break them down now. It's not our topic. But you have to be very careful, you know, about all of that. In the end of the day, it's critical to know that, you know, while there might be, even where there are patterns, and you have to be careful, you know, that the patterns, you know, are less important, you know, when they come up against, you know, the concept of Yikov HaDin HaSachar, meaning the sincerity of being, you know, a Moreh Horah, you know, of paskening a Shaila, being one of the Chachmei Masorah, means that first and foremost you have to, you know, be subordinate to the system. And you have to have respect for the Makoros, and, you know, you have to be, you know, batel ritzoncha, you know, lirtzono, and even if something goes against your inclination or even your conviction that in most circumstances, like this is the Torah perspective, and this is what is supposed to be, it's normative, not just, you know, personal, but to be flexible enough to also understand that there's a range of different dinim, and that you have to look at each, you know, issue in its own right. We're talking about, a very, you know, fundamental argument, you know, in the Gemara, kind of a metahalachic argument that, you know, is consequential in many individual arguments. Rav and Abaya, kol adam rachman al lo sabini avid mahani or lo mahani. Right now, I was, you know, just pointing out that, of course, there are exceptions where Rav agrees with Abaya and where Abaya agrees with Rav. There are even cases where Rav and Abaya flip because, you know, as much as there's like a broader perspective on certain issues, you know, part of the greatness of Torah is its, you know, vastness and its complexity and the fact that, you know, it outlets like a range of different, you know, perspectives on depending on the topic. You know, there's a time for, you know, for Simcha Yisera, like Sukkot, and there's a time for, you know, Yira Yisera, like Yom Kippur. And they're not contradictory, and, you know, it's not, there's some religions or some cultures, you know, which are more, you know, one-dimensional, you know, where it's like, you know, it's all this or it's all that, you know, and so on. And certainly, Taryag Mitzvos and Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the vastness of the Masorah allows for, you know, outletting different, you know, emotions at different times. So the first answer to the question is, A, you have to be very careful about distinguishing between personal patterns and, you know, perspectives on halachic issues, and B, you know, not all halachic issues are likely, you know, to go in the same direction. Sometimes you can reconstruct afterwards and see patterns. That's different than predicting, you know, or, you know, ignoring contrary evidence, you know, and failing to appreciate, number one, you know, batel ritzon chalir tzono, that we're here, you know, it's melechas shamayim, and there's a concept of yikov hadin hasachar, no matter how that fits to your broader perspective, as well as, like, understanding and affirming, you know, the complexity and the diversity of different topics. So that's one big issue. Of course, the second idea is that, you know, in light of everything that we've been discussing, you know, maybe the question doesn't even get off the ground. Because, you know, again, if you were to look at it a little bit the way the Sefer HaChinuch does, you know, like it was Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, it's all like in a hierarchy, like in an obvious hierarchy, you know, who's Mekel and who's Machmir, you know, in grounds for divorce. And if you were to assume that that reflects, you know, in a direct correlation, you know, between, you know, how we look at the marriage and how much, you know, infusion of Kedusha there is there, how much is it stomach Kenyan or a real, you know, Davar Shebe Kedusha? And, or, you know, therefore, can you be frivolous, you know, and trivial in your perspective here because at the end of the day it's still your choice? Or you get to, you know, impose your will? Or no, this is a matter, you know, that affects Klal Yisrael, that affects, you know, the institution of Ishus, etc. So if you look at it all that way, you know, then at least the question gets off the ground because you have, you know, like a little, it's a little surprising. It wouldn't have been predictable if somebody told you, oh, there are three Shitos, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, you know, they didn't tell you which one was which, you know, and then they gave you their credentials, you know, the patterns of their either personality or especially what they value, you know, broadly, you know, in halakhic context. So, you know, you probably would have, very possible that you would have chosen or guessed, you know, or predicted, you know, the opposite of what came out. However, one of the points that we've been making is that this whole issue is much more complex. And in some respect, it's exactly, you know, the opposite of just, you know, kind of more superficial assessment of what's going on here. And on the contrary, whether it's Rabbi Akiva or Beis Hillel or that scoof of the issue, maybe, you know, their idealism or their kpeda, you know, for the standards of Ishus, of what constitutes begida or what constitutes, you know, a foundation of kedusha that makes a marriage viable, and not just like, you know, a heter of znus. So it turns out, you know, very much that Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva and Beis Shammai, you know, are not opposite, even of, you know, some of the patterns that we, you know, might have expected. So that is that's something that I wanted to bring to your attention. But as I say, it is discussed. This question is discussed and discussed differently. I'm guessing that you have both kinds of answers, you know, in different contexts. Okay. So having said that, I want to make one other comment that I alluded to a while back, but I never, you know, followed up on, just very, very quickly, though, and that is the order of Masechtas. Ah, not the order of Masechtas that we're going to, you know, learn this year. You know, we'll try to get, you know, through the Gerut, through the Gittin part of it. If we do, we'll worry about the next. But there were different Mesoros about the order of the Masechtas, you know, within the Starim, you know, of Mishnayos. And of course, our own Mesora, you know, if you buy a Shas Gemara, is that, you know, Gittin comes before Kiddushin. You know, and surely that is, you know, striking. So the Rambam speaks about this in Pirush Mishnayos, in Zagdama to Pirush Mishnayos, you know, Zagdama to Zrayim, which is the Zagdama generally to all Pirush Mishnayos. There he lists, you know, what was the, you know, Seder HaMasechtas, you know, that he was familiar with, and he weighs in a little bit on, you know, why he thinks, you know, some of the, you know, decisions were made. I have to say that, you know, I'm not so thrilled with some of the, you know, Rambam explanations. It's a little like, you know, I've said in the past, like, you know, the way the Rav described, and we were talking the other day, you know, about the Rambam's, you know, Tamei Mitzvos and Bor Nevuchim. You know, these are very practical comments that the Rambam makes in Akdama Tezrayim, which is fine. But, you know, he brings up issues which are important. So, like, why would Yevamos, if it is, like, why is Yevamos, you know, the first Masechta, you know, in Nashim? You know, the circumstances of Yevamos are more rare, you know, than practically anything else. Anyways, what about the order? So, the Rambam has the order, Yevamos, Ksuvos, Nedarim, Nazir, Gittin, Sota, Kiddushin. And he's troubled by, you know, by this arrangement. After all, Kiddushin sequentially is prior to Gittin. The Meiri also takes up this issue. First of all, you know, in general, the Meiri was very influenced by the Rambam, and, you know, the Meiri always is particularly, in addition to being influenced by the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, which, of course, you know, he is, but also Pirush Mishnayos. And every time there's a new Mishnah, the Meiri, you know, weighs in on Pirush Mishnayos. First, he quotes the Rambam verbatim, you know, the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. So that was like a go-to, you know, safer for the Meiri. So he also, in the Hakdama to Brachos, and in a few other places, sometimes in the specific Hakdamas as well, discusses these issues. He has a different order. This is, if you look on the one in Brachos on page 33, he has, you know, a different suggestion. Kiddushin, Ksuvis, Gittin, Yevamos, Sota, Nazir, Nedarim, and he has Nida. There was one version of this in which Nida wasn't in Taharos. Well, it was in Nashim for understandable reasons. But it's Kiddushin Ksuvos, which of course makes, you know, sequentially a lot. Ksuvos is Nisuin, Kiddushin is Erisin. then sadly Havkitin, you know, Ivamos, Sota, Nazir, Nadarim, Nita. Anyways, but what the Rambam says, you know, is really perplexing. What the Rambam says is that the reason that Kiddushin is not prior to Gittin is because of Yatzav Haisa. And he says, since it goes Al-Pi, Seder HaPsukim. Here, I think I have it here somewhere. Okay. I copied down the exact line. Again, it's basically what he said. Okay. Yeah. So this is his comment in the Hagdama to Perushim Shnayas. Okay, I think I found it. V'hitchil b'yivamos, v'atam sheviu lahatchil b'yivamos, v'lo b'ksuvos, kifi shemechai v'yigayon lahakdima, l'fi shanisuin tluin b'ritzon ha'adam. V'ein lebezin lachufes ha'adam lehitchatein. Which, all the way, is also l'shitaso, because it's not even, according to the Rambam, it's not even the mitzvah, right, to get married, as we discussed. It's the mitzvah, when you get married, to be makdim erusin to nisun. Aval yibum, kofin alav, omimo o chalotz, o yaveim, etc. And then comes Kaptik Suvis, fine, good. The kasher gamar in yane nisuin, yudina afar sadar, and baladaber la gerushin, shachare nisuin ye'eru a gerushin. Lefika kava gitin achare nazirus yachar gitin sota shegam hi min yane hagerushin. By the way, we read the Tosis and Sota Gimel Amud Aleph the other day, right? They had a different Mesorah in the Bali Tosis. The Tosis is saying, like, you know, if there's this connection between, you know, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, in, you know, grounds for divorce, and that dictates whether or not kinui is a chova or rishus, then Sota should come after Masachet Gittin. Okay, that's just an interesting... I mean, they took these issues seriously. Achar Sota Kiddushin, that's what he had. Ubasiyem Seder Nashin. V'nishra Asher Lama Icher Kiddushin V'haysa Ru'uya L'kadein. U'makoma Haroi L'fnei K'suvos. V'im Tomar Shelo Kaval L'fnei K'suvos K'dei Shelo Yafsik Ben Yevamos L'K'suvos. Kim Che Minyan Echad Klomar Nisui Ha'isha. So, of course, what's, you know, peculiar is... What's peculiar?
It starts with
Ki Gachi Shisha. The whole parsha starts with Ki Gachi Shisha V'Ala. Right, and then, Imlo Nimtzachein Be'enav, because of a Sefer Krisos... So before you get to V'yatzav Haisa, right, there's the background of Kiddushin itself. So what does the Rambam mean that we're going according to the Seder HaPsukim? But I don't know if I can answer that part of the question, except maybe to say, you know, that what's really striking in the Psukim, as, you know, we introduced it, is that, you know, Ki'ikach Ishisha itself comes off as nothing more than the background for the Ikar focus on Gerushin. Not as much V'yatzav Haisa, because at least, even though V'yatzav Haisa is still a Hechitimtzi for, you know, for the marriage and the Gerushin, or the Misa number two, but at least V'yatzav Haisa kind of highlights, you know, the integration, you know, of, or the parallel, you know, because Makish Havaya Liyitzia, of Kiddushin and Gerushin. So I don't know that the Rambam meant this at all, but I would just answer this question in light of everything that we did, which was that, you know, when you walk away from the Parsha Kiteitse. You know, so, you know, the emphasis on Geirushin as opposed to Kiddushin, and number one, and Kiddushin as background is strange, as we discussed. And the Yotzev HaHoysa itself, Makash Abaya Litzia, is a fascinating phenomenon because, you know, on the one hand, you have the parallel, and on the other hand, the same, you know, the Gemara and Kiddushin Daf Hei Amud Aleph and other places, they're opposites even as they're parallel. They're parallel opposites, you know. And then the Rishonim discuss, you know, extending the Hekesh of the Yotzev HaHoysa or Dafka, you know, Ein L'chabal L'chidusha, because they're opposites, meaning, in a way, V'yatza V'hoysa kind of crystallizes, right, this kind of dialectical approach that on the one hand, you know, get is the opposite of kiddusha, and it's certainly the reverse direction, but going with what we were saying about the parsha, and then the whole climax being this rare case of machzor grushaso, both for kiddusha and for geirushin. What I was trying to suggest was that if you look, if you understand Masi Grushaso carefully, if you understand, you know, the contrast between Kiddushin and Geirushin, and especially, you know, the ingredients of the Kasav LaSefer Krisus V'Nasim Beyond the Bishulchan Mibeso, as constituting the need for, you know, a matir to dismantle, not just to unravel, you know, the Ishus and so on, then at the end of the day, and then you go back to the, you know, Beishamai Besil or Rabbi Kiva, and everything we've discussed about that, at the end of the day, Gittin emerges not as, you know, of course, you know, sequentially and, you know, practically it's the reverse of Kiddusha. But instead of being like, you know, antithetical, like there's Kiddusha, but there's still Geirusha, you know, as if it's, you know, a antithesis or a concession, you know, in Kiddusha Sishus. You know, if in fact the get is like an investment in the Kiddushas Aishas, and that is reflected both in grounds for divorce, as well as in the methodology of how you are megarish, the derech geirushin, which is the mitzvah, in the same way that the derech oser of Kiddushin, you know, is the mitzvah of Aishas, if you understand that, so then beginning, you know, with Masechet Gittin, based on V'yatza V'hoysa and what it implies, or what the psukim, at least, in Parshas Kiteitse applies, makes a lot of sense. I don't think that's what the Rambam means at all. I'm not trying to pass this off as, you know, in the Rambam's authority. But I think that, you know, we could, you know, kind of adapt his answer. You know, it's true the first thing mentioned is Kigachish Isha, but even that's context. V'yatza V'hoysa is far more powerful because that really underscores, in addition to, well, if you want to undo something or reverse it, so, you know, there are going to be parallels and opposites, but also parallels. In addition to that, there's also this idea that even the get itself is intended to strengthen and to reflect on the ishus itself. Okay, that's something I had alluded to about the order, and I wanted to, you know, to get back to it. Okay. If you have other systems, like the Meiri was recording, you know, obviously it's not a problem. You know, anybody who goes sequentially, you know, has an excellent justification as well. Okay. Just with regard to one or two very quick things, and then I want to move to Matsu, back to Matsu Grishoso. Again, we spoke about the Gemara Nivamo, Salam Zayin with Base, and the Gemara, you know, on Samach Gimel, you know, Mekadesh Amanas Legaresh, and Isha Ra'a B'dei Oseha, right, so we spoke already about that, and then the Gemara here about Grusha Salev, you know, which also has the, also the Gemara in the Darim, Adav Chafo Medbeis, we spoke about all that. But just to highlight a little bit more, first of all, that the Rishonim, on especially the Ran on Nedarim Chafo Medeis, really you know, accentuates, you know, the idea that there can be znus kind of within an ishus. Wait a second, I'm just trying to find the line. organized here. I think I have it. But just interesting to note, and again, I'm not going to do this more extensively, but if you look at the Rishonim and the Darim and some of the Achronim and the Darim, there is a lot of, you know, like, interesting literature, you know, about this. Right? The Gemara has Al Yishtadim Bekosev Yitain Eina Bekosacher. And Gemara says, Amar Avinu L'Nitzchel Afilu Beis Nashav. And then the Gemara says, Amar Levi Eilu B'nei Tesha Midos. Right? B'nei Asnak, Mishagach, those are Rashi Tevos. B'nei Ema, B'nei Anusa, B'nei Snua, B'nei Nidui, B'nei Tmura, B'nei Meriva, B'nei Shikrus, B'nei Grusha Salev, B'nei Ervuvia, B'nei Chatzufa. So it's just very challenging for the Mefarshim to, you know, kind of separate all these out and have them be B'nei Ema, Lashon Yira, Shematil Ema Lishto, B'nei Zakek, Lashalo Kirtzono, Mitokach, Ein Bonav Hagunim. B'nei Anusa, Gri, Tamri Liran, Gri, Tzvei, Mi B'nei Ema. B'nei Ema, Lo Av Anusa Mamish, B'Anusa Mayri, Kisha Anso Legamri. That's B'nei Anusa. B'nei Snua, Shasona, Mitokach, No Sein Daito, Al Isha, Acher. These are all gradations. B'nei Nidui, Shabalea, Kishahu Menuda. B'nei Tmura, Shabala, Achas Minashav, Ukasavar Shehi, Sarasa. B'nei Meriva, Afabishay Nasona, El Haisa Meriva, B'nei Am Lifisha. B'nei Shikrus, Shemitok Shechrusain, and Osein Daito, Al Ishto. And B'nei Grusha Saleb, Shagamar, B'liba Lagarsha. The point is that all of these are, you know, examples of the high level of Kedusha. I mean, the halacha goes out of its way to de-objectify, you know, this part of the intimate relationship, and therefore the use of the term Grusha Salev, you know, and so on, like, takes on, you know, it's not just like a particular local Iser, it's a perspective on Kedusha Sishas. Okay, so just, that's something you should be aware of. When it comes to, you know, Nosei Isha, you know, Almanas Lagarsha, I think I already mentioned that Rapsajagon thinks that that's the Isra of Kaddish and Kadesha. But there's a discussion there. If you look at the Rambam, you know, the Rambam is Mechalek between Hodia and Lo Hodia. You know, something that we discussed also. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam, even in the context of Nasa Isha Kadei Lagarsha. And there's an interesting discussion, especially in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yud Tes, whether or not, if you hold like the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that, you know, Kisha Modia, and she allows that there's no problem of Mekadesh Almanas Lagarsha, would the same thing be true, you know, in the case of Grusha Salev, or in the case of Ar Gemara, you know, it's the problem of Misham Shasa. So this, of course, is very interesting. The Marshal in Yom Shel Shlomo was very adamant rejecting, you know, her consent or her, you know, knowledge or information, her awareness as having any kind of consequential role. So I think that this is, like, again, a very key, you know, kind of fault line in all of these issues. If the problem is a problem of, you know, Gnevas Das, more like a, you know, Ben Adam Lechavero kind of a thing. He's tricking her, you know, he's misleading her, he's presenting himself as one thing and not another. You know, then obviously if Hodia, if she knows what she's getting into, then, you know, then that shouldn't be a problem. However, obviously, if this is about Kedushas Ishus itself, like the, you know, the level of Kedusha in the marriage, so, you know, then it's very much, you know, like an open question, you know, whether Hodia, you know, is going to work, is going to be effective or not. In other words, you could say, well, even a temporary Ishus, as long as they both, you know, going in are aware of it, you know, and, you know, nobody is misleading anybody, so maybe you could still get a modicum of, you know, Kedushas Ishus in that context. Again, nobody would think that this is a positive thing. But, of course, once you think this is about, you know, Ishus itself and Kedushas Ishus, the idea that Modia, you know, would not be effective is very important. Moreover, there are a lot of poskim who are comfortable, you know, poskening. The Rambam himself only mentions the factor of Hodiah and its effectiveness you know, in Mikadesh Shamanah Sagari, she does not, you know, omits it when it comes to Misham Shaso. And, you know, already Rishonim, and certainly the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch, are very comfortable making the distinction. It's one thing if you go into a marriage and, you know, there's an agreement that it has a, you know, it has a termination point, you know, that's one thing. But to be in a marriage, which was intended to be, you know, without any kind of qualification, I would say permanent, but let's say even permanent, and then all of a sudden, you know, to change the rules of that, you know, marriage midstream, you know, even Modia, you know, possibly wouldn't work. The Mishnah Melech, in a very long piece in Ilchos Yisiribiya, has a whole different take on the whole thing. He thinks that the issue in general is about Hirhur being Maharher, you know, about someone else, and therefore, you know, it's only like, you know, that's a difference between Mekadesh Almanas Lagaresh and, you know, Matzah Isha Na Hemenu and Grusha Salev. And he says, oh, if it's, you know, if he wants a divorce, but it's not Matzah Isha Na Hemenu, let's say it's a Pdicha Tavshila or, you know, something like that, but there is no other, it's not like he's looking already or anticipating his, you know, his next actual marriage, you know, then maybe there wouldn't be any. I think that's very mechudash, frankly. I think it's a narrow way of understanding the Isar. But anyways, just as you should be aware that there's like a whole discussion, you know, about that. Just also one other thing before we move on, and that is, you know, it's just also very interesting to read the Lishonos of the Rishonim as they formulate like this, you know, line between, you know, the obligation, you know, to be Megaresh, you know, when the, you know, Ishus has deteriorated to a certain point, especially, you know, Maisa Kior, you know, et cetera, on the one hand, and the Sonui Meshalcho, you know, aspect, you know, when there are, you know, baseless grounds, or even if it works, you know, but there's, you know, basically a disapproval, you know, of the husband. So I'm not going to read them all, but again, the Meiri is actually very strong in his Lashonos, and remember, he's the one who says that Icha Tavshilo, anyways, has a different meaning. That's a very strong language. Shame sirsure zima, right? Mitzvah alav legarsho, and you know again later on, you know he avol megarish below siba haruuya is on tzadi amin aleph sonui umeshukatz umetuav ukvar hechrimu rashi hayishivos ugedolei rabbanim mizman kadum al kol she megarish al karchalim kein baskamas tovei ha'ir. That's already came Rabbi Gershom. Ap harbin bekomus ishtadlu gdoleim im amalchios vashultonios shalahem liknos kol megarish shelo baskamas ha'ishon. This is a whole literature on this. I'm reading it because it's just convenient. It's all atar. O baskamas tova yer knas gadol kidei shelia pesach pasuach lekol haba. And then, of course, the sugya in Sanhedrin is part of this story. You know, the sugya in Sanhedrin chabdei saman aleph, where the Gemara says kama kashim gerushin. They're talking about, you know, David HaMelech and Abishag and the whole story. Shari itiru liyached velo itiru ligarish. So the Amiri had v'koshken shadavar b'chuar b'isha shenisgadla imo b'nishka'a b'havaso shekiyotza b'zu b'gida b'afaras bris v'olav afilam izbeach morid d'ma'os, you know, etc. And then, like the Rif concludes, you know, this whole discussion here, in Yavamos, where you might get an impression again, you know, that you pasca like Basil, you pasca like Rabbi Akiva, we're playing fast and loose with Ishos. So the Rif quotes the Gemara in Yavamos. That's how he concludes this whole thing. But Masechet Yavamos, Samach Beis, and here he quotes the Rif, who quotes it also. I just happen to have it open to that. Yavamos, Samach Beis, and Beis, Ha'oev Ishto Kigufo, Mechab de Yosem Kigufo, Alav Akasiv Omer, Vyadata, Kishaloma Alecha, Bakalitan Alecha, Velo Techeta. So, all I'm saying, if you look at the Gemaras in Sanhedrin, on Chabesa Med Aleph and Chabesa Med Beis, Kolanum Shemesa Ishto Rishona Kiluv Charev Beis Hamikdash B'Yamav, Kolanum Shemesa Ishto B'Yamav Olam Choshech Ba'ado, right? Psiosa V'Niskatzros. It's very, you know, tragic, but also very poignant in, like, you know, the things that are affected, you know, by the abelus of a husband and wife. Meaning there's a balance between recognizing, you know, the need for, you know, this safety valve, you know, on Ishus on the one hand, and, you know, at the same time bemoaning and, you know, even like even mourning in a way, right, the loss of the idealism and, you know, and so on. Atzasa nofeles, Omar Rabbar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan Kashal Zabim Piris Yamsuf, I'm just, you know, the whole Shaka Vitaria in Sanhedrin, Arboim Yom Kodim Mitzirus Avlad, Lakol Yesh Tmura Chutz Mi Eishas Neurim, Enel Emotze Koras Ruach Elim Yishto Rishona, Enel Koresis Prisis is where it came from with the Kino Chutz Koin, Elim Yisho Asal Kli, Kol Bo'alaya Chosaya Hashem Tzavako Shemo, Eini Shmeisa Lishto, Eini Shmeisa Labayla, etc. So, in general, just like you were talking about before, you know, if the expectation was, oh, this is just a kinyan and an arrangement, and you know, therefore we're mekel. Or it's like, you know, it's a davar shemekdusha. You know, there, you know, only the narrowest, you know, justification will allow for, you know, its dissolution, you know, etc. What you end up getting is something more complex, but predictable in a way, because the, you know, the stakes and the realities are very, you know, much nitan to pressures and counter pressures and balancing that in an idealistic, you know, way, you know, is requires, you know, to keep both of these in mind. And that's really to have already in Chazal and expanded in the Rishonim and Acharonim, and it's reflected in some of these halakas as well. Okay. So that is, now let's go back to Matsir Grushaso, in light of all this, you know, mostly things that we've done already, but that I want to elaborate just a little bit more. So I think it's fair to say that according to the Ramban, I just want to like finish up the Ramban's sheet there for a moment, it's fair to say that according to the Ramban, you know, Matsir Grushaso and Sota, Hailechude Koi Vahailechude Koi. Whether the Ramban would admit, you know, that, or be troubled, or, you know, consider consequential the fact that, you know, this single, you know, pasuk is bearing, you know, these two different, you know, dinim, whether that, you know, still has some significance, especially in light of his, you know, pshuto shel mikra in the second, you know, formulation in his Perush Al Torah. I suspect the answer is yes, meaning, if, you know, if there is significance, you know, and it's not just unfathomable, you know, why, you know, you encounter this kind of a phenomenon, like why didn't the Torah some find other way to be merames or megala milsa, you know, about expanding sota and bamidbar, you know, instead of torturing, you know, and contorting, you know, the on a pshuto shel mikra level, certainly, you know, the pasuk here in Kitetze, you know, that, you know, remains significant. I suspect that the Ramban, especially in light of his pshuto shel mikra, would agree. But at least legally, you know, he is comfortable that we're dealing with two different dinim. That is implied in his Perush Al HaTorah. If we could just get it in on the record for the moment, that is certainly what he suggests in Minyan HaMitzvos as well. That's the Hashmata. This is your, right? We shouldn't switch phones, right? Whose phone is it? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I almost stole your phone, right? Terrible. Okay. Like, you know, Pirtsa Kores Laganov, you know. But here you are trusting and... yeah, so you have that, Binyamin? The...
No, I'm doing that.
What?
No, I'm doing it.
Oh, Noam's. Oh, you're still exhausted.
Yeah.
I hear that. Okay, Noam, you got it?
Yep. Yeah. ולא אחרי אשר הוטה מאב, בעוד האשתו, להיות האימו שזינתה תחתו, כי תואבה היא לפני, לפני הדיברה.
So there are two different mitzvot, two different laws. Whether or not there's still some like conceptual overlap that would explain why the Torah, you know, bundled or jumbled these things together, and the contortion of that, the Ramban, you have to rely on the you know, you have, methodologically, it's very hard to know, you know, whether the second pshat or the pshuto shel mikra, how does that fit into his halachic normative, you know, decision to count this, you know, twice. Okay. Josh seems dubious. You think he also thoughts, thinks? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. I think it's like an unanswerable question. What?
If anything, just like the whole impression from Al Torah is that he's more just trying to give a rationale.
Like you could read this pshat without it,
which
but
he always tried to.
Right. It's hard. It's just hard to know. It's always hard to know. In the Ramban Al Torah, when he makes suggestions, you know, that are, you know, what he calls more like, you know, pshuto shel mikra, for sure it reflects a perspective or an orientation that he has, meaning that he thinks that Matzu Grushoso, you know, is musical, you know, ishus, you know, and is like an abuse of the institution, and that the formulation is very, very important. Whether that, you know, ends up, you know, connecting, you know, to, you know, the Torah's decision, you know, that's a little bit of a harder take. Either way, the Ramban here is critical of the Rambam, meaning the Rambam doesn't count, as we know. Instead, what's the language of the Rambam, Noam? In Halacha Yudalad? Perkin Alf Halacha Yudalad? Yeah, keep going. Yeah. So he just says it's bichlal, and in minyan mitzvos he doesn't count, not in the koteret and not in sefer mitzvos, and even also by saying bichlal, that's not a way you say two independent mitzvos. So the impression of the Rambam, you know, the fact of the Rambam is that he doesn't count it separately. That's why the Ramban has to put it in the Hashemotos. But you know, also you get an impression of the Rambam that there's much more of an overlap, is what I'm trying to say. Whereas the Ramban, now the Ramban is a methodological, you know, question. A bit of a methodological question. Uriel, what do you mean by that?
It's like what counts as logical clause and what doesn't.
Exactly. I mean, what is. It's hard to know when you assess this argument between the Rambam and the Ramban, and that's one of the things I just wanted to mention quickly, you know, whether or not. How much of this is a machlokas about the interrelationship between Iser Sota and Iser Matsu Grushaso? Right, Uriel, as opposed to?
As opposed to, what's the definition of Lav Shel Chalos?
Of?
Lav Shel Chalos, and whether or not this.
Or, correct, or in general, like, you know, the criterion for Minyan and Mitzvahs. Right, you could call it Lav Shel Chalos, that's fine. The truth is that the Ramban actually imputes to the Rambam, right, that the reason that he doesn't count this separately, why?
Kiva?
So he says the reason that the Ram agrees with me, correct? But he doesn't count it because of his view in Shoresh Tess about Lav Shebeklos. And if you look at, you know, Shoresh Tess, there is, you know, a broad argument between the Rambam and the Ramban about, you know, numerous cases, and it's a methodological argument, you know, about Minyan Mitzvos. Right, what is the Rambam's general view? Yonatan? Yeah. And in general about counting, you know, multiple Chaim?
He says that there's two different types of.
If there are two Labim, right? You know, the Ram expands Lav Shebeklalos in the sense of not counting them. The Ramam is of the opinion also that if you have two, you know, Labim, Lav Arlav Bishnayim, the Gemara sometimes says, oh, what do you mean? This you already have that? And the Gemara says Lav Arlav Bishnayim, right? Sometimes they say Lav Arlav Baaseh Ubelo Saaseh. Sometimes they say Lav Arlav Bishnayim, right? So when it's Lav Arlav Baaseh Ubelo Saaseh, the Rambam typically counts them, even though Rav Sajagon and the Bahag, you know, at least according to Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perla, who did not get invited out to brunch yesterday, as was pointed out. The Bahag and Rav Sajja Gaon, according to Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo's basic understanding, they don't count Essen and Laban of the like Shabbos or Yontif or Yom Kippur. All things being equal, they wouldn't count an Asay and a Lav, whereas the Rambam does, unless there's a Nafka Mina between them. That's his view. In my opinion, it's not so simple. I've said this many times. I don't think you necessarily need a Nafka Mina. I think you need two Mechayvim. And I'm not sure that every time you have two Mechayvim that you have to have a Nafka Mina. Often you do, but you don't have to have a Nafka Mina. Anyways, but the Rambam certainly counts, many Essen and Laban that overlap. I think he does, because he usually thinks that there are different emphases. Shabbos and Yontif, as in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's trickier in some respect, but okay. But Rambam says, when the Gemara says Lav or the B'shnei Lav, and if it's the same, then you will not get Malkus for it, and you shouldn't count it in Minyan Mitzvos. And the Ramban is much more open, to counting two, and even Malkus. Okay? Certainly Malkus, he argues, and in general, I would have to say, it's a little bit like what we were discussing before. You have to be careful about generalizing, too much. Obviously, in the end of the day, it has to, be calibrated and work out perfectly, because the Rambam and the Ramban both agree that there are 613 mitzvahs, right? So for every one that the Ramban wants to, add to the Rambam, he has to find something to take away. So it's not correct that the Ramban is just freer, about minin and mitzvos as looser criteria per se broadly than the Rambam. Otherwise, he's taking and he's giving. He taketh and he giveth, as they say. So or he giveth and he taketh. Yeah. Right. But in certain issues, at least, there does seem to be a pattern. For example, again, do you get Malkus for double Lavin? And do you count them? Or what about things which have, seemingly the same mitzvah, but diffused over time? Right? Let's say, Kriya Shema, Shachris V'Arvis, or the Tmidim, Shachris, Ubeinu Arbayim, Abokar Ubeinu Arbayim, or Ketores, right? So the Rambam, typically, counts them as one, and the Ramban counts them as two. So, many people try to link these arguments, these issues, and the Ramban counts and is loka, lavra lebishnayim too. So there does seem to be, let's say, a greater inclination on the part of the Ramban, when there seems overlap. Or kfelus, to count more than one, and for the Rambam, not. But it's very difficult to pin that down, because that's what Uriel was saying, right? There's a methodological minyan and mitzvos issue, but there's also a conceptual issue. I mean, in each case, you also want to try to figure out, how different are these from each other? And that's kind of where the Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo analysis, of these issues also, not falls apart, Kalila, but, is questionable. It's more complicated than he's presenting it. So, for example, when it comes to, two performances, seemingly of the same type in the same day, so, you have a Machlokas Rambam and Ramban about three different issues. Ramban himself puts that together and tells you that, just like I disagree with the Rambam about, Ketores and Tamid and Kriya Shema, the Ramban, kind of links them all together. He says, in my opinion, as long as part two is not Ma'akev part one, you'll always count it separately, and he's critical of the Rambam. But, he pointed out in the past, for example, when it comes to Minchas Chavitin, which the Kohen Gadol brings, twice during the day, seemingly. It seems like pretty parallel to Tamid and Kriya Shema and Ketores and so on. There, the Ramban only counts one. The Sefer Chinuch already points that out. He says, oh, here even the Ramban doesn't disagree. Why is that the case? And if you look at Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perlel Sefer Mitzvot Sajigon, he has discrepancies for other Rishonim, like Kriya Shema is counted, I may be wrong about this, but I think this is what it is counted twice by, I don't remember, either the Bahag or Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Gviral, somebody that he's quoting there. Again, if somebody had gone to brunch with him, we'd probably know this better. But it's nice, he's safe for Benefzi, you can look it up. When it comes to Ketores and Tamid, he's with the Rambam. But when it comes to, Kriya Shema, he's with the Rambam. Meaning, so if within a certain Rishon or Gon, within a certain, authority figure, there are, already discrepancies, which there are. So obviously the whole issue is not a methodological question, right? And nor logically would you expect that it would be. Of course, the more, two things are independent, let's say the Zman, which you do it, breaks it up more. Or in some cases you can have something, my view on Chavitin, especially actually for the Rambam, but also apparently sufficiently for the Ramban, and that is that it's not, even two types a day or two karbanos, of chavitin, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. It's the same korban that is stretched out, and there's a lot of evidence, especially in the Rambam, but that's the case. But they're, the way the psukim are written, whatever, meaning, or for example, another example that I mentioned the other day, that's Balya Rabbi Matzeh, right? Typically the Rambam does not, count two different, mitzvos separately, if it's, lav or l'bishnayim. And nonetheless, when it comes to Balya Rabbi Matzeh, he doesn't count lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir in Tmura. There's a debate whether those get separate malchus or only one malchus. That's 2 days in Tosis in Chulin, Beis Amid Aleph. Those who were here a couple of years ago, we discussed it, right? And Tosis in Tmura weighs in, etc. But the Rambam only counts, one lav for Tmura. But when it comes to Balya Rabbi Matzeh, he counts two. And as I mentioned the other day, he has a very fascinating, view on it. Again, if you look at Rabbi Yochum Perlel, so he's because they're nafka mina, et cetera. But if you look at the Rambam, actually, in Sefer Mitzvos, he makes it perfectly clear. And that, whenever you violate one, you violate the other. So, sounds like, at least in Sefer Mitzvos, that his opinion is that there are no nafka mina. However, I think the answer is, because if you look carefully the way the Rambam writes about Bayira as opposed to the way he writes about Bayi Matzeh, both in Sefer Mitzvos and in Hukos Chametz Matzah, it seems clear that they are different mechayvim, just that one of the tricky things about it is that each one ends up triggering the other. If something qualifies as Layira, then that makes it qualify as Layi Matzah. And the details are not important. Whatever. We learned Pesachim a couple years ago? Sounds familiar, right? Yeah. After Chulin. How did it go? Chulin? And where was Bava Kama? Earlier than that. It was Bava Kama, Chulin, and then Pesachim, and then Bava Asra. Got it. Okay. So, either way, so again, in analyzing the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban here, whether or not you count Masa Grushoso and Sota independently, as two different Lavin, meaning, or as one, the point is that you could think, well, the Ramban is more inclined, in these kind of situations, to count twice. And the Rambam once, and that is true, in terms of Lav Shebeklalos, in terms of the Tmidim, Ktores, Kriyeshma, that's not a Lav Shebeklalos issue. That's more of a... But it too is an example where you could look at it either way. Right? I should add that just also to make clear, because again, everybody has to end up with Taryag, and also, it's a little bit similar to what I was saying before, you might, be able to reconstruct and find patterns and things. That doesn't mean everything is predictable. because the Makoros, the Psukim are written differently. The, you know, the categories are a little bit different. That's the odyssey, the adventure of learning Torah. That's why it's so endlessly, you know, fascinating. You know, human beings can't predict, you know, always, you know, where these nuances are going to, you know, pop up. You know, that Minchas Chavitin, even according to the Ramban, is going to be different than the others. Similarly, for example, when it comes to, chalakim, you know, what seem to be chalakim. So the Rambam sometimes counts, you know, what seem to be either aksherim or chalakim, you know, as intrinsic mitzvos. For example, the klei hamikdash, right? And the Ramban says, no, you shouldn't be counting that. You know, because they're just, you know, chelkei hamikdash. They're subsumed under the mitzvah of the other mikdash. You know, meaning, of course, the Ramban has to, you know, he has to subtract, you know, an equal number of his, you know, additions. So, like, you know, he has one view about, like, kefel halavin, let's call it, or things like it, where he's more inclined in a certain way to see them as, you know, sufficiently independent that they justify, you know, separate minyan and mitzvahs, whereas when it comes to, you know, components, you know, maybe he sees components as aksherim. The Rambam doesn't think components get counted because of components. The Rambam thinks they're not really components, right? Meaning the shulchan and the, you know, building the shulchan or having a shulchan and having a menorah and having, you know, kli hamikdash, etc. These are independent kiyumim in the mikdash. So, you know, it's hard to figure this out. But what I want to leave you with is that here we have a machlokes. The Ramban himself is saying about the Rambam that this is due to Shoresh, tests of this Lav Shebeklalos. And indeed, there is a debate methodologically about Lav Shebeklalos. Also, what Lav Shebeklalos is, you know, whether it's kind of like a Lav Klali or Lav Hakolel, you know, Dvarim Shonim, like, you know, Lo Sochal Al Adam, as opposed to like Lifnei Lo Sitei Michshol, and what about things like Los Avdeim or, you know, Barazara or you know, Isra Malacha and Yom Tov. Well, this is part of the whole Shaklavataria between the Rambam and Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos and in the Hasagos of the Ramban. Very, very important, fascinating chapter. So one way to look at the argument here, as I say, is simply to say that this is a minyan mitzvos issue. However, clearly, what I'm trying to project is that while that may be partially true, that has, you know, its limitations. Meaning, even, you know, the Rambam will integrate. Will separate, you know, when he thinks that we're dealing with different mechayvim, and even the Ramban will integrate, you know, when he's convinced, you know, that something is really, you know, a single, you know, maisa, even if it's, you know, spread out or a single, you know, mechayev without any other dimension, you know, whatsoever. So I think just attributing the Rambam's perspective to Shoresh Tess and to Lav Shebeklalos may be misleading. And I think actually the language of the Rambam, you know, in Hilchos Geirushin, you know, implies that there is more integration. If even the Ramban, based on his, you know, Pshuto Shel Mikra, we were thinking, may still think it's significant about the bundling of these things together, I think that the Rambam, who, if anything, was even more sensitive, the Rambam is always, always sensitive, you know, to, you know, the way that Mikra is used, you know, in Halacha. That's why the Rambam sometimes, you know, changes the Makor, you know, and, you know, it seems like his, you know, sensitivity to that question. He doesn't consider, you know, the Torah Shebichsav merely to be, you know, a unfathomable, you know, Gilui Milsa, you know, of certain dinim. you know, the Rambam, that's also why he has his doctrine, which I'm not going to go into right now, of Divrei Sofrim, you know, that there's a difference between things that are learned from, I'm not going to, you know, let's assume on a Daraisa level. I'm not going to get into the question whether it's all. My view is it's not all Drabbanan, it's not all Daraisa, it's always a kind of a hierarchy. It always reflects that there are different, you know, dimensions of a problem. So for the Rambam, you know, the significance of the Torah presenting something in a particular way beyond the Giluyei Milsa that we, the Ramazim of what the Halacha is, you know, is typically very crucial. And therefore, I think that it's not merely Lav Shebeklalos, but it's the Rambam's understanding, going back to what we said before, that the Torah here presented, you know, the Lav of Sota in a very, you know, mechudash way by kind of attaching it on, you know, in a contorted reed, you know, to Machzor Grushaso, and holding out, you know, till Machzor Grushaso, like to fill in this piece of information when the Ikar Parsha, you know, is in Bamidbar. And therefore, it sounds like what the Rambam really holds is that no matter what you say, you know, about, you know, Lav Shebeklalos, you know, or maybe not whatever what you say, but given his view of Lav Shebeklalos, but also, you know, his view of, you know, the overlap between Machzor Grushaso and Sota, this should be counted, you know, only as one. Okay? In light of that, right, so we can also try to, you know, maybe, you know, look at another problem, you know, in the Rambam a little bit differently. So what is the problem in the Rambam? Sylvia? There seems to be maybe a steer in the Rambam, or maybe, right? At least the Nosei Kalim think there might be a steer in the Rambam. No, I'm not talking about that. Mean that you're talking about Beis Shammai and that. No, forget about that for now. In Machzor Grushaso itself, right? There are two Rambams, right? Yeah. What's the first name again?
Sammy.
Okay. He says what?
Correct.
I mean, the Rambam speaks about this topic in two different places. What are the two places, Sammy? Where does he say that zona line? Not in Hilchos Gerushin. Yeah. In Hilchos Yisurei Bia, the Rambam seems to say that the violation of Machzor Grushaso is a zona. Correct? And that's strange. Why not? Or in that case there, it should have been Machzor Grushaso. Right? It sounds like, and this is what the Nosei Kalim understands, Sammy, that the Rambam thinks that there is no Malkus for Machzor Grushaso. Correct? What's that? I mean for Sotasso, sorry. Machzor Sotasso, that there's no Malkus. Correct? The Ilu, the, you know, Perikid Aleph, you know, Hilchos Gerushin, you have the line, Sammy, if you could read it. All right, Yisurei Bia is what? Ha'isha shehuksaka nida b'shminasa, ba'al aloke, go ahead. We sound the same. So, yeah, Hamatani, go ahead. Yeah, so why is it loke? If bala koen, so then it's zona. Why isn't it also loke mishum sota? That's the question. Right? That is the question. And what's, and now if we could, there we go.
Okay.
So, what is this? Malchus. Correct?
Yeah, Ram says you get Malchus also for
Torah. Yeah, so there seems to be a stira. I mean, here it seems explicit that there is Malchus. And in the Hemshek he mentions, you know, Kolisha Shinesra Bala Kinu Yustira, Imbala Samakimus Samakis Mardus. That's not the same thing, right? That's she's Nesra, but she's not established as a Sota Vadai, you know, and therefore that's Makis Mardus. But it sounds like the first one, right, Sammy, is real Malchus. So it sounds like there's a steer on the Ram. I mean, this triggered, we're going to have to stop in a minute, but I want to finish all of this on Thursday. This triggered a huge discussion in the Nosa Kalim. Correct? Some of the Nosa Kalim say, the Rambam can't mean it because of what he says in Hilchos Isurei Bia, right? And consequently, what he says, the Loka Aleha, you have to interpret that also means Makinoso Makis Marcus, right? And there really is no Malchus. And some of them even suggest that that's because it's a Lav Shebeklalos. Said the Ramban said it was a Lav Shebeklalos, and that's the reason why he doesn't count it separately in Minyan Mitzvos, right? So the Rambam Lashitaso, that's a Lav Shebeklalos, there's no Malchus. So you're going to get Malchus. Why do you get Malchus from Masi Grishaso? Because the Rambam has this interesting shita that, when there's an Ikar Alav and a Tafel Alav, maybe you get Malchus for the Ikar Alav. It's very complicated. You have to read Shorish Tess and then the Rambam in other places. Not a simple matter, but there's a whole group of Nosei Kalim who say that the Ikar Rambam is Yisurei Bia, right? And therefore you have to reread this Rambam, and it's connected to his argument with the Ramban, and the view of this is Lav Shebeklalos. Lashitaso. Correct? However, not everybody holds that way. So some of the Nosei Kalim say what, Sammy? What are some of the alternatives? Okay, that's a little harder to explain. It sounds like, that really is, a standalone sota, is a problem. So, but what else could you say as a broad perspective? Yeah, in India.
The cast of Mishnah makes it a kimka in this realm, in Gittin, that says there actually is Masagusha, so with sota.
That this is a combination. Maybe the Hechatimsi is different, and that's why there's a difference. And what is the Hechatimsi in that view of the Kesa Mishnah?
That there is actually Gerushin between the Machzor Susasa.
I mean, there was a Sota, and then there was Machzor Grushaso.
And then you had the other aspect.
Right, and what we're saying is, in that case, even for the Sota part, you get Malchus. And then he's like, after quoting it or saying it, he's kind of mistayek from it, right? So that's what I meant the other day. And I was talking about, some people, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, to answer Rabbi Kivega's question, isn't this, Eni Sirchal al Iser? Where's the Iser Mosif? Where's the Iser Kolos? So, other than Iser Mosif, let's say you have, some people say, you'd have a Vlad Mamzer if it was a Sota plus Machzor Grushaso. Right. And the question is, okay. But basically, what the Kesef Mishnah is quoting, not regarding Vlad Manzer, but with regard to Malchus, right, is a very similar idea. Namely, if you combine Sota in a case of Machzor Grushaso, then even the Sota is Loka. And the question, the logical problem is obvious, and that is, what are these two things? It's a coincidence. So you have Sota and you have, Machzor Grushaso. Sota doesn't have the capacity to engender a Malchus, because the Lab is an apusuk that's Lab Shebeklalos or whatever, or it's more of an Aseh. Maybe the Lab strengthens the Aseh, but the Ikar is an Aseh. However you want to explain, you know, why there's no malchus, I guess the easiest would just be to say that it's a lav shebeklalos. So what does this, all of a sudden, the context of Masu Grishaso? Masu Grishaso is a standalone, everybody agrees, right? And so does a standalone. So all of a sudden you put, you know, there's this, colossus, you know, that's more than the sum of its parts, you know, when you put them together, right? But if the Rambam, now again, whether that's the pshat in the Rambam, we're not sure. There are other suggestions as well, which we'll look at very briefly, on Thursday. But whether that's a pshat in the Rambam or not, but the idea that that this is entertained by serious, you know, mefarshim of the Rambam, you know, makes a lot of sense if you take a step back and you say, well, this whole phenomenon of introducing the lab of Sota in the context of Maksa Grishaso is peculiar, right? And the bundling and the jumbling, you know, is not just, you know, apparently a Gili Milsa and a coincidence. What we're really, really saying is that conceptually, and more than conceptually, also legally, that there's an overlap between, you know, Masu Grishaso and Sota. Masu Grishaso is also kind of a Sota, you know, in a way. Or at least the common denominator is that they're both attacking, you know, the institution of Ishus, you know, albeit, you know, maybe in different ways. And the Kiddush is, you know, that when that's a concerted, you know, double attack, you know, then that's a different chalos sota. The chalos of Masu Grishaso integrates as a type of sota. That's very similar to what I was kind of suggesting again as an idea in the Yerushalmi also. This will conclude for the day. This is really peculiar, one second. Is that I mentioned the other day that there may be a way to read the Yerushalmi, you know, to say that the very fact, right, that there is an institution of Maksa Grushaso, you know, is has impact on, or is what is responsible, you know, for, you know, delivering, you know, a lav, you know, alongside the assay of Sota, mainly what the Torah is suggesting. Now, this, again, this is a very, call it, ambitious reading of the Psukim and of the Yerushalmi, but if you ask me, you know, logically, I think it makes sense, and it really actually explains the structure of the Psukim better. Meaning, as long as Sota was presented as it was, you know, in Bamidbar, you know, as a standalone, so, you know, it was perceived in a certain way. And the second that the Torah introduces Maksa Grushaso, right, which, let's say, we'll take this formulation of at the moment, which accentuates further, right, the idea of Kedushas Ishus itself, meaning if we looked at Ishus, you know, more, you know, as an arrangement, and we looked therefore at the Begida of Sota, you know, as a very serious problem, but, you know, we could have left it as being an assay, you know, they can't, you know, live together anymore. You know, people make mistakes, but this is an unforgivable mistake and there's no going back. You know, but, you know, for it to be a lav, you know, to be a maisa, you know, isure bia, or something, you know, that is more severe, after all, we're talking about, you know, there is ishus here, the person strayed, they were bogedes, but at the end of the day, it's still the marriage is still intact. So there's a mitzaseh that you can't go back. But for there to be a lav, like we have to have an upgraded, you know, version or view of, you know, of the demands of Ishus and the level of Kedusha and what constitutes, you know, how fragile that is or how intolerable, you know, a breach of it is. So then the Torah comes along and in its presentation of Ishus and Gittin, you know, Masu Grishaso is central. And, you know, we'll use the Ramban's bigger idea here. And it's telling us that Kedushas Ishus is such that even if you were to be, you know, technically within the letter of the law, you know, all you know, other relationships, you know, were within the framework of an ishos, and there was no, you know, violation of any of those, you know, ishios, let's say, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, gittin, you know, is a safety valve, you know, and ensures the kedusha of ishos more generally, meaning, you know, what we, whatever we were thinking about, you know, what is required, what is mandated for kedushas ishos, you know, it's much more than you think. And the nature of get as, you know, attacking and being matir the ishos, and grounds for divorce, and the kesher to matsu brushaso, all of which raises the profile of kedushas ishos even more, all of this makes the sota not just a, like, a disappointment, a breach of contract, you know, something which is a mitzvah, you know, it makes it something which attacks the very essence, like a me'ila, you know, which is partially like motziah lechulin, kind of a, I'm just using the mashal, right? Meaning, mide machzir grushaso as a mosad, as an institution, right? And that's why the Torah perfectly says, ah, if there's machzir grushaso, right, causes us to illuminate and causes us to re-examine, right, the and to make more acute the severity of the Isur Sota. It's a lav, not just an ase. You know, and in light of that, you know, it's a toeva and it's a toma, and it's, you know, it's metame esaretz, just like machzir grushaso itself. Meaning, the exploitation or cynical manipulation of gerushin outside of the marriage, in order to, you know, to revert to a marriage, you know, is made on, and therefore, you know, upgrades, you know, the conduct within the marriage and the betrayal within the marriage. So too, you might say, that's a way to understand, just even not difficulty of the Rambam, just like, why did the Torah here introduce this concept, dafka, in this context, and, you know, and bring it here? But now I'm suggesting that when these two things converge and they come together, right, then maybe there's a chalos, you know, it could go in either direction. Masu grushaso besota, you know, converges. It's more than the sum of its parts. And maybe that impacts even Malchus. Okay, so we'll talk a little more about this, and then I want to talk about, you know, the other things I told you to look at, the Nisun and the Erisun, the, you know, the question of Baal below Kidesh, Kidesh below Baal, Shivka, Katsi Shivka, and then we want to move on to Mekadesh Chutz and the discussion of Get Me Out. Okay.